Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it's live internet radio. This is Guasavara Taino Radio here in New York City, Leninalapi territory. Thank you all you listeners listening right now live, and all you future listeners, thank you for downloading the show. All shows are archived. This is Sana Cody, your host, and today I'm not alone. Back by popular demand, I have co-hosted Stephanie Sky. What's up, Stephanie? How you doing?
Hey, Sana Cody.
All right. Popular demand. Got some good emails saying that they really enjoy the UFO shows, you know, and
oh,
a nice
man.
Addition of yourself, Stephanie Sky, and also Spooky Lou, you know. I think Spooky Lou somewhere spooking out somewhere in New Mexico, I think, right?
Yeah, Spooky Lou is out doing a quick investigation of some territory right now. He's going to go get some UFO information. Hopefully, he can come back with some good stuff to share with us.
Now, the last time I remember him doing that, he went missing for a while, but he did eventually come back. I always make fun, but we used to have a co-host too, the three Lou's, you know, myself, you know, Spooky Lou, and then it was Star Lou, but Star Lou, he just disappeared. I think you always make fun of him, but, you know, he's somewhere, he couldn't post bail somewhere in the outer realm, somewhere in some galaxy far, far away. But check this out, I got some good news. I got the United States always in first place. You know, we got a lot of Tainos out here in the diaspora. But in second place, believe it or not, every time I download these shows, look at the statistics, is the Netherlands. There's Tainos in the Netherlands. Can you believe it? And,
Tainos,
you know, all you nice citizens, all you beautiful citizens out there as well, indigenous Netherlanders, I guess. Thank you for tuning in. We always have Puerto Rico, Borinquen. We have Canada that just went up a notch, is in fourth place, Canada. The United Kingdom, always coming in strong. And guess what? I'm looking at the world map. We got Russia. We have United Kingdom, I mentioned. Morocco. Okay, and then we have Nigeria, always tuning in. Colombia. This is just amazing, you know. We're international. Can you believe this? You know? What do you think, Stephanie Sky? What do you think? What do you think about all these countries tuning in?
I think it's amazing considering the time difference in all of these different places. I think it's a great show of support.
Well, you bring an interesting point. All shows are archived. So if you're presently live or in the future, it's all right. They're all archived, okay? So you can always listen, always go back, take notes. And today we got an interesting show, okay? And this show, I've been doing some research on this for a while. And this is the title of the show is An Ancestral Indigenous Caribbean View of the Human Person. It kind of sounds like a philosophy class tonight. But you know what? I'm just going to dive into a little bit on what it is to be a human being, a human person. You know, many times in the show we talk about, you know, the sacred beings, you know, or the Samis, you know, we talk about, you know, the star people, you know. So today I like to start about, you know, the human people, the human person, you know, who we are, who are we as human beings, you know, who are we? And I know our ancestors had a view of who they were back, you know, pre-Columbian times. And so we're going to take a little bit of that, and we're going to take a little bit of what we know, okay? So we're going to go backwards tonight, okay? Instead of going pre-Columbian, let's start 2020. So, Stephanie, I'm just going to ask you a question. What do you think, taking out the word ancestral, what do you think an indigenous Caribbean person is? What do you think? I'll put you on the spot there. No preparation.
Oh, man. No pressure. All right, so what is an indigenous Caribbean person, right?
Right.
An indigenous Caribbean person, of course, is an individual who has a connection to the greater or the lesser Antilles areas that associates with the culture and the diaspora of loving the earth and honoring the earth and its natural traditions.
Wow. Well, you definitely got a lot of the points in there. I love what you said about the earth, right? Okay, the earth.
Yeah, that's very big. Very big. As
mm-hmm.
indigenous
you mentioned
people,
the
that's what we do. We care for the earth.
That's right. And, you know, we study in this show about the origin stories. Talk about Mother Earth, Atabe, you know, the creatress. So it all makes sense, right? Now, you mentioned about diaspora. Why is that so important, diaspora?
The diaspora itself really assists in combining, lumping, or finding a way to combine everything that is in the community. What makes it's what makes, specifically for, let's say, the Tainos, you know, we have very specific things that make us different from who the Arawaks were. You know, we have very specific things about us that makes us different from our North American cousins. So making sure that we express and explain specifically what's in our culture, what represents the diaspora of the Puerto Rican Tainos versus the Tainos that may have been in Cuba, is while we can encompass Tainos, the diaspora of the Taino, all in one, every section is going to have its own little piece of its own diaspora as well, because it's exactly that. It encompasses the culture in that one segment, in that one feature, and it really highlights that aspect in that area. It puts a lens on it.
Nice. So, what would you say a modern Taino looks like, or a modern indigenous Caribbean person looks like right now, in your eyes, in your view? Look in the mirror, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's look in the mirror. Look next to you.
That's
what does your neighbor look like? It looks like that, but it looks like you. It looks like me. It looks like her. It looks like him. There is no specific idea of what a Taino is going to look like. We come in so many different shapes and sizes and colors and textures, and, you know, that since the 1400s, the admixtures have come into play so much that we no longer look like one thing. But you can always tell a Taino from somebody else, because there's that love, that unspoken love, that rhythm that your heart beats at, that you just feel, you feel it in your soul, that this is my people. You know, I resonate with you, and I resonate with you on this different level. I don't know why, I don't know how, and then you have conversations like, oh yeah, my family's from Puerto Rico. Oh shoot, my family is too. Oh well, hey, how are you? Yeah, Tainos. Like, it comes down to a level of a spiritual connection almost for us, and that's aside from the physical identity. You know, you can always do genetic testing and say, yeah, you know, I have Taino DNA in me, but there's this undeniable feeling, this unspoken feeling that really creates the identification of what a Taino is. And
right,
it's that,
exactly.
That love is that resilience, it's that strength. And as long as you can see that on the person, that's what makes them look like a Taíno. That strength and that resilience, that heart, that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For me, at least. I can't speak for everybody else.
No, no, but, you know, see, we're going backwards, you know, so it's very, very important to see, you know, what's in front of us, you know, what is our understanding. You know, sometimes you go on Facebook, you see a lot of, when the word Taíno comes out, a Taíno identity, you know, and I think it's natural. You know, what happens is you always get the phenotypical Amazonian headdress, face makeup and all that, you know, face painting. You know,
yeah.
You get a lot of the imagery on Facebook. A lot of the art kind of echoes that, you know, that
mm-hmm.
whole, I hate to use the word romanticizing, but it's what feeds us, I guess, in a popular sense. You know?
It is. It definitely is.
So you see that a lot, right, on Facebook or on different Instagram,
yeah.
Social media in general.
Social media and
you know?
Just people in general, they really do romanticize the idea of this tan-skinned, long-haired, Pocahontas-esque-looking person. And
mm-hmm.
That's not what it is. You know, especially now, that's not what it is anymore. And for all intents and
mm-hmm.
purposes, even back then in the 1400s and earlier, you know, who's
mm-hmm.
to say that that's exactly what it was? Every region has a different climate. You know, every region, while it might still be close to the equator, the
right.
environmental factors are always going to change how the body adapts to the environment itself. So maybe, you know, they didn't have straight hair in this area, or maybe they did have straight hair in this area. You know, maybe they were a little bit darker. Maybe these people had green eyes and those had blue,
yeah.
and these had brown. You know, so that
right.
central idea of Pocahontas representing all of our indigenous people,
right.
it's just unrealistic at this point.
Mm-hmm. You know, I went on YouTube and I found this interesting video on Puerto Rico. It's entitled "Foreigner Reacts to Puerto Rican Life." Then it says Puerto Rico is amazing. So here's a foreigner, okay, going into Puerto Rico. I don't even doesn't really state where he's from. Well, he looks American, you know, and he sounds American.
Right.
But he could be Canadian, though, also. But definitely Caucasian. And this is what – let me see if we can hear this clip, okay?
Okay.
No, he just – that's just says Puerto Rican. Puerto Rican life. Just try to – I'm going to put it on, see if we can hear it. I'm going to put the first 5 seconds. You let me know if you can hear it, okay? Just a little sound check here.
Okay.
Is always eat. Puerto Rican women love it when you'll eat their food and when you'll –
Did you hear that?
Yeah, you can hear a little bit of it. I definitely heard the Puerto Rican women love it part.
Okay, so you heard that, so you can hear it. Okay, let me start again, all right? If you heard that, let me just see what we got. I'm just going to – uh-oh, hold on a second. I really need an intern here. Hold on a second. I'm going to start it again. Okay, here we go. Hold on. Oh, this is crazy. Technical difficulties, but we got this.
A big do is always eat. Puerto Rican women love it when you'll eat their food and when you'll eat more. I don't think it's even possible to refuse seconds. People would come and they'd be like, do you want more? And I'd be like, oh, I'm okay. And they'd be like, more? And they would just start putting it on my plate. I'd be like, all right, we're eating more. And you just eat it, and they love it. They love it when you eat a lot. It makes them so happy because they just cook a lot anyway. Puerto Ricans also are very prideful in kind of a good way. But they love to be complimented. They love to talk about whatever they do, and they'll talk your ear off for forever about what they do and the things that they've had happen. And they just like to be listened to, I think. But they love to tell you stories and just tell you jokes, and so just laugh.
Okay, did you hear that?
I did.
Did you hear that? Okay, now here's a guy, a foreigner. I guess he spent some time in Puerto Rico. So he picks on food, right?
Right.
talks about pride, right? You know, things they do, events, and also storytelling, jokes. That
right.
sounds very indigenous to me. What do you think?
I think it is the quintessential aspects of what indigenous people were, you know, and what we still are in all reality.
Okay.
As a Puerto Rican woman, I'll be the first one to tell you, when I cook, I like to cook, and I like to cook a lot. And when I'm in the kitchen and it's time to feed everybody, nobody wants me to make their plate because the plates are always too big. And it's true. I love watching people eat. I love cooking for people. You know, I really feel like every single dish, regardless of what it is that we make, we always put a lot of love. Like, what my grandmother and I always say is that the sofrito is made with love. So every time you cook the sofrito, that's the soul of the food, and you're putting all that love in the soul. So I definitely get it. I definitely agree with it. And it's true. You know, as a community, the Taínos did share food. They cooked food. They had the canucos, you know, and that was a community area for growing and sustaining their food, you know, and they shared that amongst each other. There wasn't any, this is my area, this is my stuff, don't use it. It was always shared with love. And that's a really big part of just being indigenous in general. It's like the continuity of what we are. We share, we love, and, you know, we build, we create, you know, we sustain. And it's all community. Everything is just community-based.
Oh, man, definitely. And, you know, it's funny he said that about community, about, you know, people want to share their stories, you know, what they're, you know, what they've done, you know. It's the art of the story, too, right? You always hear a story, right, when you're in Puerto Rico, whatever.
You do.
Know? Right? You always... They're always talking about their childhood. They're talking about this, talking about that. What happened then? What happened? You know, right? You get those stories from your family.
Right,
you go to Puerto
and it's
Rico?
Always. I do. Even with my grandmother, still, we'll talk about certain things. Recently, you know, I started my journey, my Taíno journey, within the last five years, I'd like to say. And I started to really get serious about my Taíno journey, and I had conversations with my grandmother, and I started showing her pictures because she never identified as Taíno, even though we know from looking at her parents and, you know, her family line, they are very much what we consider to be quintessential indigenous Puerto Ricans from Boricuen. So as we have conversations and I show her things, she's like, oh, I know what that is. That's a Bohio. That's where we used to live. That's what my house used to look like when I was little, you know, or, oh, I remember this. This is the Bate. This is where we used to play this game. And she would explain how you played the game. And I'm just like, so your entire life you were living as an indigenous child and you grew up to be an indigenous adolescent and an indigenous woman. And this whole time you never identified as being indigenous. And she's like, what? That was indigenous? No, that was back from the 40s when I was little, the 50s. I'm just like, yeah, well, in 1410, they had that too. And in the 1300s, they had it too. And you shared that culture from hundreds and hundreds of years ago to your childhood. Mm-hmm. And you managed to pass on your green thumb that you learned from your mother, who learned from her mother, who learned from the Indios, to me.
Right.
And it's just the cyclical nature of this indigenous teaching that's going on and on and on. And she's like, oh, I never knew. Because when I was little, and she would give me a story about when she was little, and I'm just like, yeah, you're India, sweetheart.
Wow. That's so true, right? I'm just thinking of some stories now. I'm thinking of some stories. It's coming to me, you know. And, well, what do you think about the joking part? He says, oh, people always joking.
If you've ever met my uncle, well, we're cousins. You and I are cousins. You're always joking all the time. It's natural for us. We're happy people. We like to make light of the situation. We like to make sure the people are around us are happy and enjoying themselves. Because what do you have to be upset about? You're breathing. You know, you're walking, you're talking, you have the opportunity to express and live this day. is nothing to be upset about. Let's rejoice. Let's be happy about it. And it's true. When you go to Puerto Rico, everybody is smiling. Everybody is laughing. You know, when you go to a get-together at Puerto Rico, the first thing that's happening is you're getting a cup of rum or a beer and a joke.
Yeah. It's true. Yep. Everyone's always festive, you know. I remember when I wrestled in Puerto Rico, I got there early, you know, I helped set up and stuff. You always come early to set up the ring, whatever, and it was mad early. So by the time it was like, I think bell time was 7:30. I didn't see one soul. I'm like, damn, no one's here. What the hell, you know? And we were in the campo. We were up in the mountains, and I saw a lot of people. You know, we were by the close to the houses, you know, and by a neighborhood bar. So I remember telling one of the wrestlers, yo, where is everybody? Oh, it's Friday, man. Everyone's drinking. Everyone's having fun. I said, damn, so they're not going to come here? Nah, they're going to have that fun. Then they're going to come here and have some more fun. So by 8:30, yeah, so then by 8:30, everyone's coming in, you know. And, you know, a lot of people were, like, in that party mode, you know, because they had changed from a party, you know.
Right.
And so by the time the show started, it was a good, you know, 9:30. By the time everything was done, it was midnight, you know. And it was like, damn. So it was like definitely Native time, you know. They talk about Indian time, right? That
yeah.
You know, it was definitely I got a cool story for you. Talking about stories, right? And see if you can relate to this. If we can relate this to Caribbean. Many years ago, back in 1997, I was able to go to the Crow Nation powwow. It's the TP capital of the world. They have all these teepees in the powwow, the set of campsites. They all have the teepees. I mean, not tents, teepees. Traditional ways, you know, and different nations come and enjoy it, you know, over 100 years of this tradition. So what happened was these 5 days, so I got like the royal treatment, you know, everyone's really accepting of time, you know, and, you know, they actually call us the ghost people. They thought that we were dead. So, and hearing
well,
that,
a lot
they know
about
it. Yeah, it says, oh, you guys are ghosts, you know, so. So, and then they have fun about that. Oh, that's a different joke. But but basically, you know, I danced and stuff. It was fun. And what happened was they, on the fifth day, they have a sacred ceremony. It goes back to the Plain Indian, you know, the Plain times before the white man. And what happened was, you know, I was talking to a few people and we were ready. Then you hear the announcement, you know, what do you call it? They're telling us to come to the arena, right? But it was not where the dance arena was located, but a little further up. And they're making announcements about the dance arena. We're going to start in 10 minutes. Make sure that it's all cleared out, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking, you know, we're gossiping, whatever. And then say, oh, man, we got to go. I think that thing is ready. Come on. You know, our host. So when we walk over and to my shock, right, my chagrin, I see my car, my rental car, in the middle of the ceremonial arena.
What?
You know, and I see all these crow dancers, you know, and all these other these crow dancers, male and female, and hit a drum, boom, what? They start their songs, man. It's like, whoa. And you see all the dancers and. To make a long story short, it was majestic. The only problem is my car is in the middle of all this. You know? Are you there?
Oh, my goodness.
So take a
yeah.
You're in shock, right? So what happened was they're dancing around the car. Like, the car was part of the ceremony. But what it was, my car was in the middle of the ceremony. It was in the middle of the way. So then what happened was ceremony was done. Now I said to myself, I'll wait till later to move my car. I don't want anyone to see me, that I'm the fool that did that. That's screwed up. I think that's the first time in 150 years, right? that was done. So
wow.
all of a sudden a pickup truck shows up. Billings, Montana, you know, towing company or whatever. I'm like, holy shit, this is a rental car. I gotta something. And everyone's looking. I knew it. They say, all right, who's the sucker? Now we're all gonna wait to see who the sucker is. So finally I said, you know what, I gotta go up there. So slowly I walked to the car and I told the pickup guy.
Oh, man, the walk of shame?
Huh?
The walk of shame?
Yeah, that's right. I says, hey, buddy, that's my car. It's a rental car, not even mine. He's like, oh, man, you're in trouble now. I'm like, wow, what's going on? Well, I got to tow it. I was like, no, you can't do that. Yeah, once they call us, you got to tow it. I'm like, wait, you don't understand. I don't even have a car to get to Billings. You know, and, you know, there must be a way. And he's like, well, the only way is you can pay our whatever fee he mentioned. I'm like, all right, how much is the fee? $80. No problem. I literally had like maybe $85 in my pocket, you know. So I gave him the $80, right? So now, you know, I'm all into this. Now I'm happy, like, all right, he's not going to tow the car. But then I realized everyone's looking at me now. The dancers are looking at me. The elders are looking at me. The medicine men are looking at me. I'm like, now what? You know? So I'm like, you know, I think someone said, oh, you don't have to move it. You can leave it there for now. You know? I'm like, oh, thank you. So I'm walking back, right? Everyone's still staring at me. I'm like, all right, I want to get it. I get it. I remember the cocotazos. I remember the you know, I'm ready. All of a sudden, this old guy comes to me. I say, all right, it has to be the old guy. He's the one that's going to reprimand me in front of everyone. And he goes, he looks at me. He goes, hey, nice car. I like the red color, you know. And I look at him like, what? So he walks away. Then another group comes to me. I'm like, all right, these are the guys that are going to mess with me, you know. And then they're like, hey, buddy, man, that's a nice car. That's the most holiest car around here, man. You know, take care of it. It's sacred right now. So one by one, they're all like dissing me. Everyone's laughing. Everyone's bugging out. I was the fool, you know. But check it out. No one yelled at me, you know. No one dissed me, you know.
Right.
Everyone just freaking started laughing at me, like, you know, I'm the idiot, you know, I'm the guy that you know, broke a 150-year tradition, you know. But it was the funniest thing for them. But they made me understand what happened, you know what I mean? They wanted
right.
me to make sure that, you know, yeah, you fucked up. Oh, sorry, this is internet radio. You messed up, but but we got to rip you, man. This is too good to let go. So I'm always Ubi Rimmer as the guy who had the red, shiny car. I was shaking, though. I'm like, someone's going to yell at me. I'm ready for it. Probably going to be told never come back. But I had the holiest car, the most sacred car. It was a Hyundai, red one. I think it was an Elantra, something like that. And it's like a Hyundai, you know? So...
Wow.
What do you think about that story? What do you thought? What was your? Did you honestly think
they
were gonna like yell at me and shit? No.
Sports about no? it. Like, I don't know. That wouldn't be able to happen nowadays. I don't think many people would be that understanding. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I said, it's that native, that indigenous. Attitude about everything, you know, like life is too short to be mad about so many little things, especially if you don't have control over them. And the indigenous people, all of our indigenous people, regardless of, you know, the indigenous people of North America, the Caribbean, Africa, Australia, they understand there are so many other battles that have to be played and, you know, fought right now at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that revel in them because there's comedic relief in it. You know, it's too much to be mad about small things when you can really just use it as a teachable moment.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm telling you, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I got away with murder. But yet, I didn't get away with murder because everyone was like
ripping on you for weeks, months.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, you might get it now. Don't let me see you park a car. I'm going to have some questions.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And I know that I see this all the time in Islanders, you know, that we do have that teasing, you know, we tease each other. You know, there's always
mm-hmm.
it's always a good time to tease, always a time to tease, you know, and always a time to break the person down, but in a good way, not
Right. Character building.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's what I like to call it. I like to call it character building. Because they'll tell you, if you're Puerto Rican, if your family doesn't make fun of you, then something is wrong. Because no bully can make you feel bad if you come from a Puerto Rican household. They'll say some things to you growing up.
Yeah.
And it's always out of love. Always out of love.
It's true. You know, it's funny. The other day, there's a guy in where I work, the clinic. He's Boricua 100%. Like, he's loud. He's like, people would think he's like your stereotypical, like, macho man kind of thing, but he's really gentle and he's really respectful. But he's just very loud, very always joking. You know, I love him, you know. So one day, I have an anger management program, and it's basically I have boxing gloves and pads. It works really well, that program. So one day he comes in the room and he starts doing the punching, you know, the pads work.
Mm-hmm.
He's very angry and he said, "Oh, I feel so great," you know, and then bah, you know, "Hey, papa," you know, "papa, papa, papa," you know. So when he sees me, he's like, "Hey, papa," really loud, you know. And so the other day, you know, I blew my Achilles heel, so I'm walking over cane right now. So I remember a corner of my ear. Oh, check it out. In a corner of my ear, I heard him giving directions to someone of how to exit from the clinic. And then he goes, "Tu ves ese viejo, follow him. He'll lead you out." It was me with the cane. But he said it mad loud. Everybody starts to laugh. I said, "Yeah, yeah. Si ese viejo, follow that old man." So, that's what it's about, man. Huh?
That's how
you
we
know?
Show love.
Right?
That's how we show we're comfortable with people. That's how we show we trust people.
Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the human person, right? And we're very complex beings, right? We have this thing called brain. And they're saying that we don't really use, 20% of it we use, if any?
Yeah, we don't use a large amount of our brain at all.
Which is like, I don't get that. We have this brain, but we only use like the max 20%, whatever. I mean, if that was a quiz, we fail, right? So
yeah.
It's like what? But it's like, yeah, with all the complexity, the organs, the nervous system, all these different systems, right? We have this humor about us, right? The humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when you laugh, those dopamines, right? Chemicals. That it's the same chemical like when we start, like when we're starving, we get this shot of dopamine. It helps us with the, you know, the pain of starvation. You know, so it's like
right.
Our body is just like our brain. You know, it the ultimate medicine, I guess, is, you know, that joy that we feel when we laugh. And, when we share it, right?
Well, they say that all the time. One of the best medicines is laughter. Laughter,
yeah,
and music. I always have to say music as well, because music creates this chemical reaction in the body. You know, the brain reacts to it and releases endorphins that really create a sense of happiness and pain management, which is why so many people now are starting to lead
the endorphins,
into
right.
Music therapy.
Yeah. The endorphins. Did I say dopamine or endorphins? I got the wrong chemicals going there.
Yeah, you just say dopamine.
Well, they're good too, but yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. I knew what you were talking about, see?
But yeah, go ahead. So what? See, that's
yeah,
why
so
you
even,
are back in popular demand. That's why.
Oh, man. I'm glad I could fortify my place.
Well, dopamine, actually it plays that role of when you feel pleasure. So I'm kind of at that pleasure
yeah.
part, so I kind of skipped over laughter, right?
No, you got it.
It's actually Colocote, right? Hey, Colocote is around. Wait. Someone put
hey.
Him back. Colocote has left his altar, and he's looking for some love. Oh, man, the dopamine.
Oh,
yo.
Man. Hide your wives.
but go ahead. I'm sorry I cut you off there.
No, it's no problem. But yeah, it's similar. You know, I like to say laughter and music both play such a huge role in creating these sentiments of just being happy, feeling happy. When you go to Puerto Rico, there's music everywhere. Literally, even in the pitch dark, blackest areas of night, you're gonna hear the coqui. And the coqui is going to sit there singing his song, coqui, 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 and that's music. You know, one of the things that I think is my favorite about going back to Puerto Rico or just even thinking about Puerto Rico is the sound of the coqui, because you can't get it anywhere else. You know, I mean, you can probably get it in Hawaii. It is iconic to what makes Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico. And when you don't hear music in the background, when you don't hear bomba playing in the street, you hear the coqui, and there's always just this sense of music and happiness and beautiful colors between the macaws and the parrots, the flowers. It just gives you this sense of belonging and understanding, and you have no real choice but to be happy about it. Like, it's warm, it's beautiful. You know, there's colors, there's music consistently, the beautiful smells from all of the restaurants in the area. It makes it feel like home wherever it is that you go, whether you're in the barrio or if you're in the city, the old cities, the new cities. It feels like a place that you want to be. It's welcoming, it's inviting, it's loving. And that's what we are. That's what we've always been. That's who, you know, the Boricans, the Boricuas, that's what we are. And that's what we bring everywhere. Look at the Bronx. How many of us went into the Bronx? We've created a whole second Puerto Rico over in the Bronx. And you get the same sentiment. It's not the location. It's the people. It's the heart. It's the spirit. It's the soul.
You know, it's funny. I just asked my good friend here. He's my researcher here. His name is Google. And Mr. Google here, he said that endorphins act on the opioid receptors of our brains, and they reduce pain and boost pleasure, resulting in a feeling of well-being.
Yeah.
And endorphins are released in response to pain or stress. And they also can be released during activities like eating, exercise, or sex. So there you go.
All the happy things in life.
Hey, wait, hold on. Google wants to tell me something. What did I Google? Oh, it also says that it affects our body when we have lack of endorphins in our body when it's low.
Yes, it does.
It affects us. It gives us headaches, and it gives us depression. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of people, man, they suffer from headaches, so there you go. You need some endorphins, man.
Okay.
Wait, Google. Hold on. What did Google want me to... Okay. Google says, interesting. Dopamine, it says that it helps with the blood pressure. It can treat symptoms of shock by improving blood flow. Interesting, dopamine. It's a neurotransmitter, okay? And it plays a big role in what we feel, especially pleasure, okay? Now, check this out. What triggers dopamine? What triggers it? Just like this guy said in the beginning of his YouTube clip, food. And also, it says here, sex. So But there's that food, man, right? Want a shot of dopamine? Eat some arroz y gandules, right?
Un poquito de yuca con bacalao, cebolla, aceite, pimienta. That's happiness right there.
Okay, so it's safe to say that the human being, right, especially indigenous culture, right, the human being has these natural occurrences, these chemicals that offer pleasure, that offer a good time, right, offers us a way to avoid headaches, a way to avoid depression. That's amazing, man. You know, this is as a human being, right?
Right, and think about it. That's only with a fraction of what you use your brain for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's kind of cool that we're talking about, you know, humor, the light side of the force, you know, of how, as indigenous people, we have that, you know. It's very, very important. That's why I love, you know, sometimes this is what happens when we're a colonized people, too. You know, we get influences from different traditions, and some of it can be a little harsh, you know, because it's foreign to us. But,
right.
You know, it's included in the culture, you know, machismo. What else? Give me another term. Machismo, which can lead to domestic violence, can lead to a whole bunch of stuff. Dominance, you know, male.
Yeah, gender roles and
toxicity. Huh?
Right. Gender roles, just specifically gender roles, just in general, those can lead to such toxic behaviors. Like, if you are in a relationship and the relationship is great, and then all of a sudden the woman becomes pregnant, and now you're going to stick her in these gender roles that she was never conformed to before. Now I got to stay at home, and I got to raise the baby, I got to clean the house, I got to cook. But before I was this super independent person, that can lead to so much depression, you know, so much loss of self-identity, so much loss of self-worth, and you lose the joy of all the things that made you what you were and the happiness that you used to have. So now the things like being in the kitchen and playing around, cooking and making music that did create those endorphins and did give you those feelings of happiness and pleasure, they're now associated with, you know, the disassociation of who you used to be and what you used to be, how you were.
Right.
So how do you receive that happiness again? What can you do to break that colonial mindset of this is what I have to do, this is a role I have to play because that's what society tells me? So it becomes this whole other idea of what it could be having those stereotype requirements, and we didn't have that. You know, there, yes, of course, men had roles, women had roles, but it was really community driven, where we had an entire community raising children. It wasn't based off of, you know, you're the wife and you have to do this. It was a community where usually the grandmothers took care of the kids, because that was the grandmother's role to help lead up and guide the children into what they were going to be when they got older, you know, and we don't even have that anymore. Community building for the saving of our children, the grooming of our children to be, you know, community people. Now, if you're mistreating your child on the street and I say, hey, hold on, that's a little too extreme, don't hit them like that or don't do that, they're going to look at you and want to fight you back. Like, what do you mean? That's my child. I'm going to do what I want to. And that's not how you preserve a community. That's not how you treat community. So I think these colonial mindsets of having to have control all the time, it's just become so toxic overall and in general.
You're right. Hey, check it out. I want to get this guy back, this YouTube guy, because he's I don't want to let go of that food, okay? So just listen to this, okay? He's still talking about food. I guess he really loved it. I guess he really loved the food.
How could you not?
But let me look at the let me get ready this clip. I like this part. Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Chicken. They make something around Christmas.
Okay, hold on a second. He says they make something around Christmas time. wonder what he's going to mention. Hold on.
You know that's a pastele.
Wait, hold on. Let's see what he says.
They make a lot of things around Christmas time, actually. Something called pasteles, which if you're familiar with, like, tamales, it's very similar to that, but it's made from something else and it's wrapped in.
Okay, you ready for that? You see what he said? You heard that, right?
Oh, man, similar to the tamales. That's what I always hear, and I'm just like, no, it's not a tamale.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because guess what? There's a lot of people in the Taino world who want to deny this, but the Mayan people were in the islands for thousands of years, you know? It's the
right,
evolution
right.
of the pastele. There you go, the tamales, right? That's
mm-hmm.
it. There you go. There's that connection with the Mayan influence of cuisine. Mayan influence. There you go. Let's say we use banana leaves and stuff. They use corn. But guess what?
Right.
Bananas came later on. That came.
Right.
So
exactly.
That came later. That's post-Columbian. But before Columbian, you know they had to use corn husk and all that stuff. So there's a lot of influences there, man. We can go on forever with the influences, but
yeah,
that's not tamale.
Yeah, we can
definitely
compare and contrast that. That's got to be a different show, though. Because we can go for hours about the comparison between the Mayans and the Tainos.
Yeah, and we will, because
a lot of feathers.
well, as you know, on Facebook, there's been a whole thing about the Mayan being whatever, and you know, on this future show, I want to have Juan Gonzalez here, who's the caretaker of El Cerro de Bojique, you know, which is a Mayan site, 600 AD, is a Mayan site. And
right.
these were the ancestors of the Mont, of the Taino, you know, the ancestors. So, and heavily Mayan, supported by archaeological research, which
yeah.
is found in the Cerro de Bojillo. But we won't get into that tonight. But check this out. Check it out. Guess what?
¿Qué pasa?
I just forgot. I need some dopamine.
Still thinking about the pasteles, aren't you?
Wait, hold on. Remind me now. Patele. Oh, man, that'd be a good one. A patele con maraya, man. Right? That'd be so cool right there. Damn. but hold on a second. I just lost it. Wait, I can't believe it. Hold the press.
Oh,
did
no.
did we go over the weather? Did we go over the weather? Let's take a break and let's look at the weather. And
I don't even remember. Did we go through the weather? I think we did.
Huh? No, we
I
didn't.
Don't know.
We just looked at the. Wait, let's get the weather person here. Hey, where are you? Let's see if we could. Dominican Republic right now, it's heavy rains, yes, and also thunder. That means Guatauba, Seni is there. And San Juan is what? Partly cloudy at 84 degrees. What you know is San Juan. Jamaica is thunder, Guatauba. That's right, the thunder sent me. It's 79 degrees. And guess what? Guess who's at 82 degrees? You never guess.
Who?
IT, 82 degrees, partly cloudy as well. Just like San Juan. So it seems like San Juan and Puerto Rico and Haiti are enjoying the same weather. San Juan a little hotter. But Dion Jamaica is having some thunder and rain. Wow, so you got Boy Nayer and Guatauba. Makes perfect sense. What do you think about that?
I think it does make perfect sense.
So I still can't remember what I wanted to ask you, but maybe another show I'll remember.
Maybe. We could always do a follow-up.
I just remembered.
Okay.
I forget who the Spaniard. I think it was the Batamo de la Casas. I gotta do my research on that again. I hate when I can't quote the person who said it first. But it was a Spaniard who documented that our ancestral Taino did not eat three meals a day. What they did was they had a huge clay pot, and it was always burning. It was always on fire. And it described what we call a sancocho. And sometimes
really?
In this time, and it will cook all day. Now, usually a Taino farmer will work 6 hours a day. So whenever they felt hungry, they would eat. And in the Tancocho, they had, of course, they had Yuka, Batata, all YouTubers, you know. And, you know, they would put iguana, parrot meat, or pigeon meat, or fish. Fish was the main source, the protein. Or mariscos, if you're next to the coast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what else they would say. Of course, we ate lizards as well, you know. And the jutia, which is the rodent, you know, we also had that as protein. But mostly you had your YouTubers, you know. You had your yuca and all that. And that would cook all day. So when you feel hungry, you take your huera bowl, and you just ate whenever you were hungry. It makes sense, though, right?
It does.
Yeah. And since you were active, you know, you didn't pack those calories, so you're always in that heat,
right.
You know. You're always sweating it out. But, hey, imagine. I think that's why we love food so much. It was always cooking all day, you know. You know, who needs 3 meals? You could just, you know, keep it going all day. So that's what I remember. So it seems like human nature, it's all about keeping his body and brain alive and well through proper nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And also keeping our bodies, keeping our mind, keeping ourselves happy at all times. The happier you are, the healthier we are. What do you think? I think indigenous people got that down pat. What do you think?
I think we do. I think we are kings and queens at that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, have you ever seen the movie Skins? It's a great movie, Skins.
I think I might have. It sounds familiar.
If you haven't seen it, you got to go on YouTube, okay? It's about two Lakota brothers. One was a BIA cop, and the other brother was an alcoholic, you know? So there's a great scene where, because the cop became a vigilante, you know? It was, you know, the drugs and the domestic violence. He just went nuts, you know, seeing so much violence. He became
right.
a vigilante. I guess he felt the law really didn't do justice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to give away the movie, but there's a one point where he tells the alcoholic brother, you know, he says, "Man, I can't believe it. I have to tell you, son." He confessed that he was a vigilante. So he didn't believe him. He's like, "Are you kidding? Like what?" He's like. And then he told him things that he would do, you know, break people's caps and kneecaps and, you know, really do harm, you know. And,
oh, wow.
And he's like, geez, Rudy, you doing all that? He's like, yeah. And then he starts to laugh and he goes, "Listen, all we really need is a good laugh." You know? All we need is a good laugh. Why go to the extreme? In other words, why go to the extreme, you know?
Right.
You know, Yeah, we got problems, we have alcoholism, we have this, we have that, but hey, sometimes you just need a good laugh. So I always say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good movie, check it out, because I don't want to give it away, but there's a reason why he said that too. So, yeah, man, it's powerful stuff. It's powerful stuff how, as human beings, we try to survive, you know. Then you got a guy like Robin Williams, who I thought was the happiest man in the world. He commits suicide. Is that something else?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was suicide, right? No, it was suicide he died of.
It was. And that's a really big thing within suicide itself. People who commit suicide because they're depressed or they're sad, they're usually the happiest people. Because
they know
what it feels like to feel like they don't have anything or anyone. So they always want to give that joy and that love to other people, even though they don't feel it.
Wow. They don't feel it, right? Isn't that something? So they make
mm-hmm.
other. See, that's what they always say. Part of the healing process, you got to be good to yourself. You have to, you know, feed yourself, right?
Exactly.
Wow. Before you feed others, right? Wow, that's something else, man. And that's where a lot of us, I think, as human beings, we get lost where we put we put all our game chips on another person, and you forget that, hey, not every, you know, we can love that person to the highest universe, but at the end of the day, it's we, right? It's us that have. It's just the me, right?
Exactly. I mean, you gotta think of it like a bank account. You know, when you
mm-hmm.
go to the bank, right? You can go and you can take out as much money as you own, but once you don't have any money, there's nothing you can take anymore. So when you're dealing
mm-hmm.
with people and you're dealing with yourself, when it comes down to that love and that caring, that admiration, you can give and give and give and give and give. If the other person can't give back to you when you need to receive, you're not getting anything. So you're feeding somebody else and depleting what you have, giving away what you have, and you're not getting anything back in return. It can't function like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's all about – this is why I think it's important – That whole tribal thing, you know, where, you know, the tribe is, you know, fulfilling the needs of the people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is having a person feel supported, you know, being a safe space, right? Safe.
Exactly.
So they can be themselves, right? Wow. I'm trying to think of a good joke. A good native joke. Well, I got a good joke. The crows taught me this. Ready for this one?
Go for
The first thing they teach you how to say hello, Ngozi. Ngozi is hello, right? Ngozi. So everyone's always saying when you say see each other, Ngozi. Hello, hello. You know, like Tagwe in Taino. Ngozi. So a long time ago, there was this is when the reservations were set up, you know. A lot of the crows were very open-minded people, very, you know, spiritual people. So they didn't care who came. It could be Roman Catholics, Pentecostal. They didn't care. They say, come on in. You know, we're all God's people, you know, children. So the Catholic priest came, right? And there was a Protestant priest came, you know. And they wanted to meet the medicine man. They said, hey, we can convince the medicine man and the crows can become Christians, you know. So then they approached the medicine man. Medicine man, hey, Ngozi, hey, Ngozi, yeah. It says, yeah, we want to talk to you about God. He says, oh, yeah, we believe in God. You know, I said, all right. And he started talking. And then the medicine man said, hey, let's go for a ride. I'll show you the beautiful mountains, the little Bighorn mountains. He says, oh, let's go. So they go in the car, right? And then the Catholic priest got a little impatient. He's like, oh, man, I got to teach this medicine man about the true religion, you know? Yeah, I can convert him to Catholicism, right? And then he started talking about all these doctrines and all these teachings, and you know, and then the medicine man was like, wow, that's pretty important stuff you're talking about there, you know? Wow, that's good stuff. And then the Protestant got kind of jealous. He was like, wait, no, wait a minute, no. You know, he started going the whole Protestant teachings, right? And then he started arguing, you know, and the medicine man was like, wait, hold on, you know. God loves us all, you know. Just have to show honor. And then they got more mad. No. No, you have to be Catholic. Oh, no, you got to be Protestant. All of a sudden, the medicine man got kind of upset. Got kind of upset. Like, oh, wait, what are these characters doing here? Boom, a big truck hit them. They all died, you know. So then, you see them as, like, they're flying up to heaven, you know. And then the Catholic priest said, hey, medicine man, now you're going to see that God is Catholic. Then the Protestant's like, no. Now you're going to see he's, you know, God is Protestant Christian. Then the medicine man's like, God, these guys will never learn. So they go up. All of a sudden, they see God, right? This is who God is. And guess what God said? Ngozi.
What did God say?
Ngozi. God was crow.
Wow.
So with that,
I'd
we're
like
gonna finish
to
this
on their faces.
Ngozi. I'm probably saying a word wrong. It's been a while since I said it, but apologies to any crows who are listening, but yeah, Ngozi. So isn't that funny, man?
That definitely is.
Now, when I heard this story for the first time, this joke, there was a Catholic priest present, you know, Capuchin Franciscan.
Oh, man, did he at least laugh?
We were rolling, man. We were rolling.
Okay, good.
When he came to the punchline, he's like, and then God said, now go. We're like, oh, shit. There you go. It's a matter of perspective. But guess what? It's all about humor, man. It's all about humor. Being
That's
happy, right?
Exactly.
So guess what? We ran out of time.
Well,
time flew.
At least we entered it in a good way.
Right? So guess what? In summary, the human person, Caribbean indigenous, plenty of food, plenty of conversation, plenty of stories, and plenty of jokes. So we're on to something. So we're going to keep, in the next show, we're going to keep going backwards, all right? And see
all right.
what we can find. Yeah, so hopefully when Luz comes back, when Spooky Lou comes back, hopefully he'll give us some ghost stories. If not,
yeah,
if we don't hear
we're
from
coming
him,
up on Halloween soon. We need some.
That's right. If he doesn't come back, we'll do a little fundraising, try to get his, I don't know, hopefully the what do you call those people? The Grays. Hopefully they will show mercy.
I hope there's no Grays. Well, I think he's in Eagle Valley Reservoir right now. So if we don't hear from him by the end of next week, we know exactly where we got to go.
Oh, man, that is something else. So
maybe
guess what, everyone?
Live showing him.
I know. He's probably something is buzzing in his ear. He thinks it's a mosquito, but it's us talking.
It's really us. Chief Mix.
So hold on a second. I'm going to the studio here. Listen, Stephanie Sky, I'd like to thank you once again for being with us this week. Popular demand, you did not. You definitely hit a home run helping us out here. And we just ran out of time. So I asked my daughter, who made me very happy when she created this theme song for originally the theme song for Taino Sagrado. But since I'm not wrestling anymore, I'm going to donate. She donated this song to the show, okay? This is the theme song. This is Wasabara Taino Radio.